Hey there, podcast friends. This is Dr. Harlan Betts. It is a joy for me to welcome you to Wisdom from Above. This is podcast number 161. The goal of Wisdom from Above is to go beyond the reasoning of man to the revelation of God. We find this wisdom from above in the Bible. We're in the midst of season 10 with an emphasis on practical Christianity. It's a series of how-tos and practical truths. Today's podcast looks at what the church should preach today. A young boy was walking into church with his father, and he noticed a plaque on the wall. The plaque had several names on it. The young boy asked his dad what the plaque was for. And his father said, "Well, it has been put up on the wall in honor of those who died in the service." The little boys got as big as saucers, and he cried out, "Which service, Dad? The morning service or the evening service?" Unfortunately, in some churches, the services are so bad you think you're going to die. There's no love. There's no enthusiasm. There's no energy. There's no spirit. There's just cold, stale ritual of meaningless church words and religious activities. Three people came to church for help. A businessman who was failing in his business, a young man who was planning to steal, and a young lady who had fallen into immorality. The choir sung a stirring anthem. The deacon presented an eloquent prayer. The preacher gave a scholarly address on the topic, "Is Mars Inhabited?" The businessman found no hope, and he committed suicide. The young man was not convicted, and he went out and stole. The young lady found no forgiveness, and she returned to a life of shame. Why? They came hurting and found no hope. They came confused and found no direction. They came in weakness and found no power. They came with guilt and found no forgiveness. They came lost and found no direction. They came spiritually hungry and were not fed. Why? Because there is no hope, no peace, no power, and no forgiveness in man's wisdom, man's philosophy, and man's religion. So, what is the answer? Where can we find pardon, peace, and power? Where can we find hope and truth and purpose? The Bible gives us the answer, and the answer is clear. Man's religion, man's wisdom, and man's teaching will not suffice. We must turn to God. We need to hear from God, and God speaks through His Word. The answer, it is given in 2 Timothy chapter 4, is preach the word. This is the Apostle Paul's great command to the young pastor Timothy. Preach the word. And we're going to look at that passage in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 4. First, we see the sobering motivation. Preach the word conscientiously. Paul writes, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word." You notice there that the charge is given in the presence of our Lord. We are responsible to God. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." So, we need to do what we do as unto the Lord. But the charge is also given in the light of His appearing. He says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." We're not only responsible to God, we're responsible to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're accountable to Him. He is coming back. He's going to judge, He's going to reward, and he's going to reign. So that's the sobering motivation, that we do what we do before God, responsible to God and accountable to God. Then there's the supreme instruction in verse 2. Preach the word continuously. What are we to preach? Well, preach the word. The word is a reference to the scripture, the Holy Bible. The supreme instruction is preach the word, not men's ideas, not book reviews, not modern psychology, not personal philosophies, not current events, not the great ideas of church leaders, not the cherished programs of your own church. No, no, none of those things. Paul said, preach the word. Paul didn't tell Timothy to take a survey of the people to find out what they wanted to hear. Paul didn't tell Timothy to do a demographic study or research on people's felt needs. Paul simply told Timothy to preach the word, the living word, the inspired word, the infallible word, the authoritative word, the word of God, the holy word of God, the Bible. J. Howard Pugh, board chairman of Sun Oil Company, declared, "I go to church to hear the mind of Christ, not the mind of man. I want to hear the timeless truth contained in the scriptures, the kind of preaching that gets its power from 'Thus says the Lord.' Such preaching is hard to find these days." Jesus once said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." J. Vernon McGee spoke at my graduation from Dallas Seminary, and he said, "Too many preachers are giving their people mayonnaise instead of meat." We're to preach the word, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. That's what we're to preach. Well, when are we to preach? He says, be ready in season and out of season. The Greek term for be ready was used of a soldier ready to go into battle at a moment's notice. Jeremiah described his response to having a message from God with these words, "I tried to shut my mouth, but I couldn't do it. It was like fire in my bones." God's word becomes like a fire in your bones. I know some preachers who should either put some fire in their sermons or put their sermons in the fire. You know, I'm like a horse at the gate ready to take off. I am so excited about what God has laid on my heart to share with others. When are we to preach the word? Well, Paul says, be ready in season and out of season. In season, take opportunities. Out of season, make opportunities. It's always open season for the word of God. Preach the word when it is popular and when it is unpopular. Preach when people like it and when they don't like it. Buy up every season because the days are evil and the end is drawing near. There never comes a time when we can stop preaching the word. What are we to preach? The word of God. When? In season and out of season. How? He says, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and patience. Paul emphasizes three aspects of preaching. First, he says, preach with conviction, convicting. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart. Paul is telling Timothy, if you're going to preach the word, you must confront people with the fact of their sin. Church growth gurus are warning preachers not to talk about sin, not to confront sin, not to speak out publicly about politically charged topics such as abortion. They warn against confronting people with the fact that they're guilty of sin against holy God. They warn against talking about sexual purity. In contrast, the Bible says we must convict. Peter Cartwright was a circuit riding preacher in the 19th century who on one occasion was getting ready to preach to a very large congregation. Somebody came up to him and said, "Preacher, you need to know that President Andrew Jackson is in the audience, so make sure that whatever you say is not offensive to the president." And Peter said, "Well, thank you for telling me that." And Peter got up in the pulpit and he said, "I've been told that President Andrew Jackson is in this congregation, and I've been asked to carefully guard what I'm going to say. So I want to begin by saying that Andrew Jackson will go to hell if he doesn't repent of his sins." You could have heard a pin drop. After the service, President Andrew Jackson walked up to Peter Cartwright and said, "If I had a regiment of men like you, I could whip the world." We need more Peter Cartwrights. Preach with conviction. Second, preach with correction. He says, rebuking. We must rebuke. This goes beyond the fact that we are sinners to the damage of that sin. It deals with the fact that our sin is a stench in the nostrils of God. It deals with the fact that our sins crucified the innocent Son of God. And it deals with the need of changing our ways. We must repent. We must turn from our wicked ways. Some people say, "Well, if you preach like that, you could offend somebody." Well, it's not just you could offend, you will offend. They'll call you narrow-minded. They'll call you mean-spirited. They'll call you intolerant. But God will call you obedient. We are commanded to preach with correction. And rebuking those who are doing wrong and telling them how to get right. Thirdly, we're to preach with consolation. He says, exhorting. Someone has said to exhort is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comforted. to exhort is to comfort and to cheer. To exhort is to challenge and to charge. Paul isn't saying that preachers have to breathe fire and brimstone when they preach. Paul isn't saying preachers have to preach on hell every Sunday. Paul isn't saying preachers have to spit saliva 14 feet or they're not preaching. Paul isn't saying preachers have to put people down. Paul is saying to exhort. That word actually means to build up. It's a very positive thing. You see, people need to see things as they are. So preaching the word is convictive. People need to see what must be done. So preaching the word is corrective. People need to see that they can be done. So preaching the word is constructive. There must be a balance. We cannot just comfort, for that would allow people to stay in bondage to sin. We cannot just convict, because that would just burden people with guilt. We must also correct, so they can draw on God's grace, so they can turn from their sin, and so they can live in a way that is honoring to God. We need all three aspects, convicting, correcting, and comforting. And this preaching must be done, as Paul says here, with all long-suffering and patience. The preacher must be patient. You know, Jesus once said to his disciples, "There's much more I want to tell you, but you cannot handle it now." Jesus was patient. He didn't want to overload his disciples. This reminds me of the story of the guest preacher who showed up one cold, wintry day on a Sunday morning at an old country church in the middle of some cornfields in Iowa. When he arrived at the church, there was no one else there. He went up to the door, kicked the snow out of the way, opened the door to the church, and went inside and waited. About 15 minutes later, when it was time for church to start, it seemed apparent that no one was going to brave the blizzard-like weather and come to church. But just then, an old farmer stepped through the door. The two of them waited about 10 more minutes, and nobody else showed up. The guest preacher asked the old farmer what he should do. And the old farmer said, "Well, when I take a load of hay out to the field and only one cow shows up, I still feed her." Well, that was all the preacher needed to hear. And then he got in the pulpit and he preached 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 60 minutes, 70 minutes. When he finished, he went back and asked the old farmer what he thought of the message. And the old farmer said, "Well, like I was saying, if I take a load of hay out to the field and only one cow shows up, I still feed her. But I don't give her the whole load." We need to preach the word with patience. And we need to preach the word with substance. And that's really Paul's next point. As he talks about the sad anticipation, he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." We need to preach the word courageously, because the time will come when people don't want to hear sound doctrine. They will refuse what they need. They do not want to hear sound doctrine. Now, doctrine is simply the teaching of the truths of the Word of God. God loves you. That's doctrine. All of sin. That's doctrine. Sin must be confessed. That's doctrine. All of Scripture is doctrine. To be without doctrine is to be alone on an uncharted sea, tossed to and fro by every wind of false teaching. The Bible says that many won't endure sound doctrine. In fact, they turn away from the truth. That's a medical term for dislocating a limb, to wrench a bone out of joint. In rejecting the Bible as old-fashioned or out of date or archaic or irrelevant, they become puffed up with their own wisdom, and they do not realize that they're foolish and wretched and doomed. In turning from truth to falsehood, they move from the doctrines of God to the delusions of man and to their own doom. As the message puts it, they do not have the stomach for solid teaching. What is your attitude towards the word? Do you have the chicken gizzard attitude? "I don't want it and I won't eat it." Do you have the cod liver oil attitude? "I don't like it, but I know it's good for me." Do you have the shredded wheat attitude? "Well, it's good, but it's dry." Do you have the habanero hot sauce attitude? "Just a little bit is all I need." Or do you have the dark chocolate truffle attitude? "I just can't get enough of it." Jeremiah said, "Thy words were food to me, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart." So the Bible tells us that many will not endure sound doctrine. Many people seem to feel the unpardonable sin is to be dogmatic in the pulpit. And now our nation is reaping the harvest of confusion and chaos because "my humble opinion" or "my educated view" or "this should make you happy" have replaced "the Bible says." People today are crying for open-mindedness and melting pot theology instead of sound dogmatic doctrine. They don't want to acknowledge that there are absolute truths and that the Bible is absolutely true. When I'm having surgery, I want a dogmatic surgeon who knows the problem and the right way to correct it. Imagine needing foot surgery and the doctor says, "I think I'll go through your chin and work my way down to the foot." And you're thinking, "Oh, no, no, not by the hair of my chinny-chin-chin." Or when I need medicine, I want a dogmatic pharmacist who knows the formula and sticks to it. Imagine needing an antibiotic, and the pharmacist says, "I think I'll throw in some arsenic. It'll kill that bacteria." "Well, yeah," you're thinking, "and it'll kill me too." When I want teaching for my family, my faith, and my future, I want God's word, not guesswork. People refuse what they need, and they receive what they like, Notice the next two verses. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. As Eugene Peterson's The Message puts it, they have no stomach for solid food. They will fill up with spiritual junk food. Catchy opinions tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth and chase mirages. They look for teachers who will feed their desires. They want pleasure, so they seek out a preacher who promotes heaven as here and go for the gusto. They want to be healthy, so they seek out a preacher who promises healing as a promise for today. They want to be rich, so they seek out a preacher who promotes wealth as a guarantee for all the children of God. They want to be happy, so they seek out a preacher who calls abortion a good thing, that calls homosexuality and an alternative lifestyle. They want sex out of marriage, so seek out a preacher who promotes sex with no rules and no wrongs. They want to be excited, so they seek out a preacher who focuses on emotion rather than devotion, says what people want to hear instead of what God wants said. People willingly follow preachers who will entertain them and excuse them. People gladly follow preachers who make sin seem acceptable and make selfishness sound godly. Some people move from church to church and from preacher to preacher to find a preacher who will tickle their ears instead of touching their hearts. A preacher who will speak what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. People want to fill up a spiritual cotton candy. They want to hear about the love of God, but not about the holiness of God. They want to hear about the mercy of God, but not about the judgment of God. They want to hear about the wonders of heaven, but not about the wrath of hell. They want to be told that God wants them healthy and wealthy and happy. They want to be told how to be happy, not how to be holy. A lot of what passes for preaching today is just human reasoning and religious entertainment. Someone has said, if preachers insist on competing with psychiatrists as counselors, with physicians as healers, with politicians as statesmen, with philosophers as speculators, then these specialists have every right to tell them how to preach. If a minister's message is not based on "Thus says the Lord," then as a sermon, it is good for nothing to be cast out and trodden underfoot of the specialists in the department in which it deals. So the call is clear. Preach the word. God's word, the Bible. The inerrant, inspired word. As Jesus said to his Father, your word is truth. As Paul said, faith comes by the word of God. God's word can reveal God's heart. God's word can reveal your heart. You see, God's word is not designed simply to inform us, but to transform us. God's word is not simply designed to challenge us, but to change us. God's word can communicate, convict, correct, challenge, and comfort us. God's word can lead, guide, and direct us. God's word can purify our hearts, renew our minds, and change our lives. So the choice is yours. You have two options. Option number one, you can have itching ears, looking for man's word, where the cry is, entertain me, make me feel good, excuse my selfishness, rationalize my sinfulness, pamper me, please me, placate me. Or, option number two, you can have hungry hearts, looking for God's word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scorners. But his delight is in the word of God, and in God's word he meditates day and night. You can be like a tree by a river of water, abiding in the word, Psalm 1. You can be like a newborn babe, desiring the sincere milk of the word, 1 Peter 2. You can be a growing believer, feeding on the meat of the word, Hebrews 5. What will it be for you? Do you have itching ears or a hungry heart? Do you demand a preacher who tells it like you want to hear it? Or do you look for a preacher who will tell it like it is? Are you committed to being in a church that both proclaims and practices the truths of the Word of God? You know, it seems so sophisticated and with it and wise to deny the inspiration and authority of the Bible, but in fact, it is ignorant and foolish and dangerous to reject the Word of God. A story told of a little girl on a bus who was reading her Bible. A Bible-rejecting man seated next to her asked if she believed all that stuff in the Bible. And she said, "Yes, sir, I do." He pushed further, questioning, "Well, even those crazy things like the story of Jonah and the whale?" "Oh, yes, sir, I believe that." "Well," said the unbeliever, "how can a man be in the belly of a whale for 3 days and be thrown out alive?" "Well, I don't know," the little girl said, "but when I get to heaven, I'll ask him." The agnostic taunted her a little more, saying, "But what if he isn't in heaven?" To this, the innocent little girl said, "Well, then, I guess you could ask him." What will it be for you? Man's word or God's word? Guesswork or God's word? Joshua says, meditate on the word of God day and night and be careful to obey it. And then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have success. The Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the Bible. Preach the word conscientiously, consistently, courageously, and seek out a church where the word of God is taught. Well, my friend, that is a wrap on this episode of Wisdom from Above. I'm grateful that you're making this podcast part of your weekly listening routine. Please help me grow the outreach of Wisdom from Above. We've actually reached over 50 countries now, and we're reaching more people all the time because of you. Because of you sharing it with your family. Because of you sharing it with your friends. Because of you sharing it on your social media. Because of you telling others about Wisdom from Above podcast. This is Dr. Harlan Betts, wishing you a great week and God's blessings. I'm honored that you joined me in this passionate quest for wisdom from above.